fades away. When you feel you cannot make it, there is a way. When you think you just can't take it this very day, there's a way. With the Lord, there is a peace that passes all understanding. We have a God that can lift His mighty hand and make us a way where there was none before.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. On today's broadcast, we have Bill and Annette Weiss. And if you remember, Bill is the author of 23 Minutes in Hell. Now, they have a ministry, Soul Choice Ministries, and today they're talking about, can Christians have demons? That is a controversial subject, but Bill and Annette address it today on one of their podcasts. I asked them if I could put it on the air. For your benefit, let's hear Bill and Annette Weiss.
Thank you for joining us.
I'm very excited for what the Lord is going to do today.
Fallen for his deception. You know, in the military has to identify the enemy in order to defeat the enemy. Yet at the church, we don't identify our enemy. How are we going to defeat him?
So
how are we
going
to overcome the works of the devil and bind him and throw him out? I mean, you know, you got to know who he is.
Yes.
So, but further ahead, we're going to discuss how to keep demons out of our lives. We'll talk about that as we can move along.
Yes, and in the meantime, we're going to look at some biblical examples of demonic activity. And if you have your Bible, let's look at Mark chapter 9, verse 18. Now, this is where Jesus cast out a deaf and dumb spirit from a boy. And the father of that boy brought him to Jesus. And the demon, it says, quote, wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth. He becomes rigid. And of course, Jesus cast it out. But it's interesting to note there was physical manifestation in that little boy's body. And again, the devil is always coming to kill, steal,
That's
or
right.
destroy, as Jesus said in John 10:10.
Right.
Here he's trying to destroy this little boy.
Right, with violence there, throwing him down and into the fire.
Yes, exactly. And then in Luke 11:24, this verse gives us a lot of insight into how a demon operates. And Jesus said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return unto my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first.
That is really interesting. So look at this. When the demon is cast out of a man, he walks through dry places. Mm. That's interesting, dry places.
That is.
And seeking rest, he finds none. Now, rest to him would be inhabiting a body. So he hadn't found a body to inhabit, so he has no rest.
So when he's in dry places, he's looking for flesh to inhabit.
Right, exactly.
And that could be a person or an animal even.
So he decides to return to the house he was thrown out of, the person. But this time he brings seven other wicked spirits, worse than himself. That's an interesting thing that a demon would want to do that. Why?
I know.
It's more destruction to the person, bringing seven more wicked spirits.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that when he came back, he found the place empty and swept and put in order.
Right.
So as soon as a person gets delivered or set free from demonic oppression or possession, it's super important to receive Jesus Christ, to fill his mind with the Word of God, renew our minds, receive the Holy Spirit, and learn about our authority in Christ, because the devil always tries to come back.
Right. So you've got to get the Lord in you, dwelling in you.
Absolutely.
Mark 5, 2 through 4, Jesus cast out many devils out of this man that was running through the tombs. And it said, the man lived in the cemetery among the tombs. He had an unclean spirit. No man could bind him, even with chains. He broke the chains and fetters into pieces. Mm-hmm. So he had tremendous strength from the demons. He cried out. He was tormented. And he cut himself with stones, it says. So again, the demons want to do destruction to the human body. They want to inflict pain.
Yes.
So now Jesus said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And then the devils begged Jesus to send them into the swine. It was a herd of swine. And Jesus gave them permission to enter the swine. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they drowned. And there were about 2,000 of the swine.
And 2,000 demons, right?
Right, roughly, and the scholars say it was a legion, and that is like 2,000 demons that were in this one man.
That's amazing.
So you can see why he had this great strength and how... But it's interesting that he cut himself, you know, again, you know, destruction.
But, you know, what's really important for us as believers is to remember that we do have authority in Christ. If we learn about our authority, if we take the word of God, we don't have to be afraid of the devil because Jesus has already defeated him back at Calvary on the cross. So we do not have to fear him as believers.
That's right.
But we do have to be renew our mind and get knowledge in this area and grow in our authority,
right,
and understand how he operates and not be ignorant of his devices, as
exactly,
the scripture tells us.
Exactly.
You know, also in Luke 22:31, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired you and he's desired to sift you as wheat. Mm. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. So there's a lot of clues in that verse right there. You know, one, the devil comes to sift us as wheat. So even we as believers, he's coming to shake us. He's coming to try to steal the word. He's trying to take faith from our heart. But it says in Ephesians that we can quench every fiery dart the enemy throws at us with our faith, the shield of faith.
And it says he comes immediately to steal the word out of our heart.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want that word in our heart, because we know then we have authority over him and we avoid sinning when we have the word in our heart.
Yes.
So he's trying to take that word out. That's his goal.
Exactly. That's our biggest battle, and it's in the mind.
That's right.
In Mark 9:38, John said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name. Now, this was not an apostle or a disciple. So this is for all believers today.
Right.
You know, some teach that it passed away with the disciples. This passed away, all the supernatural authority over the enemy, the gifts of the Spirit, and so forth. But this is for today.
Right, it's showing one man there.
Yes.
Not, like you said.
And then Luke 10:17, it talks about the 70 that were sent. And they came back to the Lord and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name, through your name. So they were excited that they had authority over them. And in Mark 16:17, Jesus told us, first, to cast out devils.
That's the first thing he told us to do. Cast out devils. And you don't see that much in the church today.
No, not in the Western church, sadly to say. But even if you're a brand new baby Christian, you have authority in Jesus' name to run them off from your life and pray for your family.
Right. Jesus gave us that authority. In Acts 13:10, Paul said to Elymas, the sorcerer, you son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness. So Paul obviously believed in the demonic. He said he was the son of the devil. So that's interesting. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter believed in the devil, if you read that verse.
That's right.
1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's one of the reasons Jesus came, was to destroy Satan's works. So he's a real force. And that was spoken by John, and John was one of the most trusted of the apostles, so he believed in the demonic realm. James 4:7, James believed in the demonic, and he was the brother of Jesus. 1 Samuel 18:11, King Saul was troubled by an evil spirit, and so much so that he sought to kill King David. Of course, he wasn't king at the moment when he was trying to kill him, but
yes. The
point was he was trying to kill David. And it was a result of the influence of that evil spirit.
Yes, and that's how the devil works. He drives people to do things. You know, that's what the difference is with the Holy Spirit that we have as believers, is the Holy Spirit leads us. He gently leads us. He never forces us. But the enemy drives, and Saul was driven to try to kill David.
He was.
And another great story that gives us insight into the supernatural realm is Daniel 10. And in Daniel 10, Daniel was fasting and praying for 21 days, and a high-ranking demonic spirit came and hindered the angel that was trying to deliver the message and answer Daniel's prayer.
Right.
So that shows that evil spirits can be working to resist the purposes of God.
Right. What if he were to quit in 20 days?
I know, exactly.
But at 21 days, Michael had to come and release the angel to give him the answer.
Yes, that is.
So that's an amazing insight, again, to the spirit realm.
Yes,
there
that is.
There is a spiritual warfare going on and so
it's
forth.
It's real.
So, yes. Job 1:12, Satan himself came before the Lord, and the Lord said unto Satan. So God speaking to Satan. And Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. And we know Job's house was destroyed. He lost his family and so forth. So Satan is the one that caused that destruction.
Yes, and Job had no knowledge it was Satan. You know, that was one of the, if not the oldest book in the Bible.
That's right.
And so he wasn't given that information like we are today to know who's behind that.
Right. Another example was the seven sons of Sceva. They wanted to cast out a demon out of a man, but they were not Christians. And they just said, they tried to cast him out, and the demon said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? And the demons in the man jumped on the seven sons and tore their clothes off and beat them up and sent them away wounded.
That's true.
You know, if you're not saved, then you don't want to mess with demons.
Yeah, if you're not a Christian, you have no authority.
You have no authority over them. And the demons emphasize that.
Yes.
You know, so, okay. So we see that God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, Joshua, Zechariah, Daniel, Elijah, Saul, David, the Witch of Endor, the Pharisees, Paul, Peter, James, John, the Apostles, the 70 that were sent out by Jesus, and even the one with no title. These all experience the demonic activity.
That's a great summary.
Yeah, so it's biblical.
Yes, exactly. You know, I want to share a story. This is from Dr. Lester Sumrall's book, Alien Entities. And he was a great missionary for many, many years. He's in heaven now. And this was in the 1950s, and it's a very well documented story about a 17-year-old girl named Clarita Villanueva. You can look it up. You can listen to it on YouTube, Dr. Lester telling the full story. But she was possessed by devils, and Clarita was taken to prison. And this says in his book where, quote, this young harlot was bitten severely on her body by unseen and unknown alien entities. There were two of them, a huge monster-like spirit and a smaller one. They sunk their fangs and their teeth into her flesh. They would bite her neck, back, legs, and arms simultaneously, and blood flowed. These strange demonic bitings would occur daily, baffling all who saw it, quote.
That's right.
You know, and many doctors came in to visit her, like psychiatrists, try to help her. And of course, these were, again, were not Christians that came in. Two of those men said something to her that she didn't like. And she said to them, she said to the one, you will die. And the next day he died and he didn't even have any illness.
Right. And then the second one, she said the same thing.
Yes. And then a second one came in and he died 4 days later. And
so now there were the doctors were afraid to go in and even deal with this woman.
Exactly.
So they thought, who do we get?
Exactly.
So they sought out Dr. Lester Sumrall.
So he understood how to take his authority. And he was called in to cast out the devils. And he did cast out the devils, and they became normal. And this was in all the newspapers around the world. This opened up the whole Philippines to him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people got saved.
Right.
So it was an incredible, it's an amazing experience and story.
And he writes many other stories in his book about the demonic realm that he had encountered.
Yes.
All through his life.
Absolutely.
He's an amazing man of God.
Absolutely. You know, and another important point in the scripture that makes about the devil, in 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan can appear as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. And we know this also because this is how a lot of false religions have started.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
Their founder claimed to receive revelation from an angel or from a being of light. And then they started a whole religion, a false religion or doctrine off of that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And many people have been on their deathbed that were not Christians have said they saw a bright light. So they got a false impression that they were going to a better place. But many times that bright light is the demonic, a spirit. They're seeing
deceiving them.
That they think Satan deceives. You know, so, okay, to sum this up, demons can torment, cause deafness, blindness, dumbness, cause many sicknesses, epilepsy, insanity. They are unclean, foul, evil, wicked. They steal the word out of a man's heart. They can enter into a heart, possess a soul, cause great strength in a person, give wealth to the wicked person, possess an animal, inhabit a region, enter a crowd, deceive, kill, steal, and destroy. That's what a demon can do. So they're real.
That's a great summary. You know, it's interesting too, Bill, that, you know, they can be behind sickness or illness.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And I think a lot of times, you know, we just go just the world's way and we think, well, we just got to go to the doctor and get some medicine. Mm-hmm. And that might be true in some cases.
Right.
We're not against doctors, but there's also a time to discern, and we should always go to God first and ask Him, Lord, what's going on here? Especially if something is persisting
right.
or getting worse in our bodies.
Right.
And
well,
He'll give
right.
us that wisdom of what to do.
Right. Several times it's because we've opened up the door and the demonic can attack us
mm-hmm.
or the result of some kind of sin that we're involved in. Jesus
yes,
said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. He said that twice.
That's why it's so important to examine our own lives.
That's right.
You know, and also, you know, that's why sometimes mental illness is not always a chemical imbalance. Sometimes there could be the presence of a demonic activity in that person or a demon.
That's right.
So we need the Holy Spirit's help to discern that.
You know, I want to share with you, in my vision God gave me, 23 minutes in hell, I saw demons. They're real, just like the Bible says. But the ones I saw, I was in a prison cell, and two first appeared. They were huge, 12 or 13 feet tall. There's scripture for that. But they were reptilish in appearance, bumps and scales all over the one's body. Huge jaw, sunken in eyes, claws about a foot long. And these particular two were pacing in this cell like a vicious caged animal. They had the most ferocious demeanor about them and an extreme hatred for God and man. And they were blaspheming God. But they were hideous to look at, twisted, deformed, and grotesque. I saw other demons that were only 2 and 3 feet tall. Some that appeared to look like spiders, but they were 3 and 4 feet across. There were snakes and maggots, but the point is all the demons were so twisted and deformed and wicked, a wickedness that you can't even imagine. So that's what demons are like. They're in hell and they're also on the earth possessing people. So they are a real force. We don't have to fear them as a Christian, but be aware that they're real.
And weren't there a couple scriptures, too, in Revelation about describing
yes.
demons?
Yes, there were. Revelation 16:13 mentions unclean spirits that appeared as frogs. So there's the appearance like reptilish
mm-hmm.
and so forth. Revelation 9:2, John tries to describe a demon that came out of the bottomless pit. And he said, they were like locusts, shaped like horses, crowns like gold, faces of men, hair like women, teeth like lions, breastplates of iron, wings that sounded like many horses, tails like scorpions, and the sting in their tails. That's a pretty bizarre creature
Those
he's
are
trying
bizarre.
To describe. This is what was coming out of the bottomless pit.
You know, so it's important to learn, though, is how do we keep the devil out of our lives?
Right.
How do we deny him access? And the Word of God gives us some clues. These are just 10 points. These are not exhaustive. But number one, and most importantly, is to meditate in God's Word day and night. To put it before our eyes, to speak it, to pray it, to read it every single day. Joshua 1:8, Luke 8:21, and other scriptures mention this. And number two, to submit to God, resist the devil. James 4:7, the first thing we do is submit to God or obey His word. Also, you know, it says we're not to give him access in our life in Ephesians 4:27, and that the devil is going about looking whom he may devour in 1 Peter 5:8.
So he's looking for a way to get into our lives.
He's looking for access. And then number three, forgive, so Satan doesn't have an advantage over us. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Number four, repent of our sins. 1 John 1:9. If we sin, it's important to get our conscience clear and have confidence going before God. So when we repent, we can do that and then and go back and take our authority and walk in faith. Bill, I apologize.
Keep
you
on.
Were going to say something about forgiveness.
Keep
okay.
Going.
Number five, not entertain the lust of the flesh. Romans 8:13, 1 Peter 2:11. We're not to associate with evil people. So people can either draw us to God or influence us away from God. Number seven, we're to guard our heart, our eyes, our ears from evil. Number eight, we're to guard our tongue from speaking evil. That's anything contrary to the word of God. There's a lot of scriptures of that like that. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. James 1:26, and so forth. Number nine, we're to pray without ceasing. So have that relationship with the Lord daily and be talking with the Holy Spirit. And number 10, we're to learn to exercise our authority in Christ. Luke 10:19 and Matthew 28:18 and 19.
Boy, those are all so good. We could really elaborate on
all
those. But
I'm just trying to give you for a quick list. I know there's a lot on this topic.
You know, there's some things that give the devil access into our life that we can avoid. You know, Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, whoever breaks a hedge, a serpent will bite. And Job 1:10 talks about a hedge. We have a hedge about us, but we can break our own hedge. Here's some of those things. Palm reading, Ouija boards, occult practices, occult objects into our home. You're not to bring an occultic object into your home. Reading occult books, sinful movies, satanic video games. Stay away from those. A tongue that speaks gossip, lies, deceit, strife, division. Guard our tongue. And also disobedience to God's word. These are things that we can do to avoid the devil, giving the devil access into our life.
So Bill, if somebody has done that, then what they should do is just repent. First of all, repent,
right.
Ask God's forgiveness, and then throw those objects away. Get them out of your house. Renounce them.
Right.
And any connection to that. And then move forward with
exactly.
The Lord.
Exactly. That's a good point.
You know, I love the verse in Proverbs 4:23. This tells us to guard our heart above all else, for it determines the course of our life. So that's number one, guard our heart over
right.
Everything.
You know, we want to get the Word of God in our heart. And Satan's job is to take it out. So that's why we have to guard it. When we get it in, we got to stay, keep guard over it. Because he is going to try to take it out, and that's what defeats us.
So what are four things people should do to kind of wrap it up? What would you say the most important things are?
Number one is to walk in love. You know, God is love. And he said that in 1 John 4:7, everyone that loves is of God. If you don't love, then you're not of God. So that is so important. And, you know, just showing forgiveness to people and so forth shows that you're showing love.
Yeah, Jesus said that's how you sum up the whole law is love your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And three things to remember. Be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to obey. If you can do these things, you'll do well with God. Thank you for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
For more information about Soul Choice Ministries, please visit us online at soulchoiceministries.org.
Trust in me with all your heart and don't you go by what you understand. When you think that your world is falling apart, just remember that you're in my hand. When you've seen as far as the eye can see and it looks like the end to you, just remember that my ways are not your ways. I'm the Lord.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.